Tanya Khoury, very, very good morning to you. Tell us what the big stories were for this week on social media.
Well, definitely the biggest story is the death of Tariso Temane. Mm-hmm. And from what I can understand, I'm sorry, I haven't followed the story very closely, but he was murdered by a group of kids. Is that right?
Yeah.
What was the story?
And I don't know. I don't know if they were a gang, but yeah, it was a group of kids. I think about five or six kids, and they bragged about it the next day at school.
No.
Good yeah. Heavens.
And because one of the kids is a cop's son, so he was basically saying, I think there was a video also where he's saying, "Ugh, I will get away with this because my dad is a cop."
No.
Yeah.
Well, justice for Tariso is certainly one of the it is the biggest hashtag this week, coming in at 30.6%. So social media baying for blood and wanting to know exactly what's going to be done about this situation. And to follow that is the resurrection challenge, coming in at 21.7%. So between those two stories, you've got over 50% of our conversation this week.
But isn't that interesting that it's moved completely away from the usual suspects? We did have state capture inquiry continuing this week with Glencore on the stand. We've had a lot of things happening, but these two stories dominated the media.
I think it's also people are looking for different news because it's there's the same old, but certainly I think the story about Temane is that it was kids, you know,
yes,
and I think
yes.
The nation is horrified that the children would do that to this person. So certainly made a very big impact. Resurrection Challenge, we've spoken about at length this morning.
Yes.
That story is just hysterical and doesn't let up. It's still going. And then we start looking at the usual suspects, which is state capture. Now, state capture, as you said, was absolutely riveting this week with Glencore CEO standing up and saying how he was bullied. Well, in fact, it was worse than that. KPMG came to him and said they have an anonymous buyer.
It's just
KPMG, remarkable. Really? And he turned around to KPMG and said, I don't deal with anyone in anonymity, so best you disclose what's going on. And the next thing, it was the Guptas. And they were forced to sell Optimum. It was, he had no choice. So that particular story was the start of state capture. And then, of course, Trevor Manuel got on the stand. And you know, when I watch it, Howard, when I watch the state capture inquiry, you can see how many people are viewing. And on an average day, there's about between five and 7,000 people watching the live stream. But yesterday, there were over 56,000 because of Trevor Manuel.
Wow.
Amazing, right?
That tells you something.
It does. So state capture inquiry comes in with 14.3%. And then Eskom is straight after that. It's still on everybody's lips. I saw a video yesterday. Now, I wanted to share it, but I couldn't find the source and I couldn't find the date. But I saw a video of Eskom trucks. Maybe the queue of trucks was probably 10 kilometers long without any exaggeration. It may have been more. Stationary on the side of the highway.
Wow.
Filled with coal. And then yesterday we were told stage two, didn't we?
Yes, so they did make that announcement yesterday, but I don't know if anybody was, well actually I think the people were affected because certainly in some of the areas that I was driving to and on the way back from a meeting, the traffic lights were out there in a whole section. So I think it did hit certain parts of Johannesburg yesterday. But suddenly it was back with no explanation.
And it makes you wonder, like, so if that coal truck story is true, and I do put a big disclaimer on it.
Yes, fair enough.
But if that coal truck story is true, then it makes perfect sense that we're being held ransom by Eskom.
Oh, it's so interesting. I've just seen somebody sharing exactly that video on Twitter. And yeah, you can see it's just miles and miles. Wow. I mean, they're also saying here, someone just sent it to me on WhatsApp. I'm not sure when this video was taken.
Yeah.
And you just see literally truck after truck after truck.
It goes on for kilometers and kilometers, and they're stationary. They're not going anywhere. So I found that pretty scary. And it also leads into what the public were thinking was that we're being held ransom. We honestly are.
Right.
And then good news for the DA. Yay!
Oh, that's nice for a change.
They come in at number five with the DA manifesto,
right.
One of the largest peaks of publicity this week. The one thing I didn't understand about the attendants at the manifestos, every single person was wearing a DA t-shirt.
Right.
And there were no white people. I haven't seen any white people.
Right, so funny. We were talking about that earlier this week. To some extent, I feel sorry for the DA, because if it was white people, they would, everybody would say, oh, you see,
yeah,
that's a white people's party. Then you have this thing, and our analyst on the show said, well, you know what? Where were the white people? So, I don't know. I feel like, I do feel like we are a little bit more critical of the DA. Maybe we expect more. I don't know. We are definitely more critical.
It is because we expect more. It is because we expect more. Yeah. Or we expected more anyway.
Maybe that's what it
but,
is, yeah.
I mean, Missy Maimane's manifesto certainly came out, tops of, what was it, 145,000 rand for, to start a home or something was promise. It's a little bit far off from Julius Malema's 1 million rand promise when you go to varsity.
But yeah. Yes. Well, I'll go for the million. Thank you very much. If
yeah,
you don't mind.
I'm also in. And then, wow, Zizi Godra.
Yes.
What do you make of that story?
I don't know. I'm going to ask Zanati that story because she's been following this very closely.
Do you know
Zanati didn't do it, eh?
Yeah.
I don't think he did it.
That's it. You know what the thing is, Tanya, is the fact that it's coming out, you know, so close to elections. And the fact that, because I actually read the letter yesterday that she sent. So she says in this,
just bearing in mind the kids in the car, huh?
Yes. So she says in the letter that one of the guys that is Zizi, like a mutual friend of theirs, Zizi Godwa and her, he said, instead of going to the police, don't go to the police, but rather, let's sort this out with him. I'm like, how are you going to sort out
well, this is what bothered
a rape
me
issue
is,
with the perpetrator?
Is there was this whole negotiation, and when the negotiation fell through, then it seems to have been taken to the next level. And that's the part of it that makes me uneasy. I don't know what you think.
And a negotiation for what? What are you negotiating?
Yeah, it was a settlement.
With the perpetrator? Is it money? What is it? Why?
It was money.
And it doesn't make sense.
It really
and
doesn't
also,
make sense.
And there's also, there's rumors, and I also stress this is my big disclaimer, there's rumors that Zizi Godwa is gay.
Oh, Tanya Khoury joining us to talk about our week in social media. What else was the word, what else were the big stories that South Africans were talking about?
Well, the Sasa and the Guptas are certainly the next on the list. We'd got quiet on the Guptas for a while.
Yes.
And, you know, many said that the Agritsi terror testimony was a diversion tactic against the Guptas. So we stopped talking about the Guptas. But no, we haven't. They're back on the charts. They're number 8. And that's largely due to the testimony we've seen in state capture.
Right.
Is everybody sick in that studio?
I don't know. You know what? Zanati is just coughing away here. I'm feeling.
You too, though.
Well,
you too. Stay away from the mics, guys. They have all sorts of nunus.
Yeah, it's true. My big worry is that I suspect I'm coming down with a bit of man flu. And I know. My family leaves me when I do. They don't care for me when I get man flu. I find.
The other big story, Howard, was SOPA 2019 with Mchunu fainting. Did you hear that story?
Yes, I heard. I didn't follow it closely, but I did hear about it. What happened? What do we know the reason?
So, you know, he's such a dignified man. So he was standing up giving his speech and he said, listen, guys, I'm having an issue.
Oh.
I'm going to hand over. How professional. Hand it over and the next thing collapsed. But here's the bizarre bit. Nobody went to help him. They started praying. Maybe it's because they're watching Resurrection Challenge.
Because they thought it was more important to resurrect him than to help the guy. No. Are you serious?
I promise you, somebody even offered him water and they pushed him away. They went, no, just pray.
No.
I'm serious, but he's fine. He's all good. He's considering retiring, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah,
but yeah, that was
a
very bizarre story.
That is bizarre. Wow.
Uh-huh. And then the last of the top 10 is Caster Semenya. Weren't the IAAF meant to make their ruling yesterday?
Yeah, I didn't see a result of that ruling. Certainly South Africans are all behind her and, you know, listen, there must be under tremendous amount of pressure now in terms of making that ruling, because I don't think it'll be received very well if they become stupid.
Yeah, well, more stupid.
More stupid. I apologize. Yes.
Caster Semenya comes in with at the biggest positive net sentiment this week at plus 31%. And then the DA manifesto just under that at plus 26%. And then, of course, our biggest negative story this week is the Zizi Kodwa story with minus 91.8%.
And does social media believe him?
Believe the story?
Believe
no,
the story.
No, they don't.
So everybody's got a sense of unease about it.
And in fact, it's social media that's running around with the rumors of him being gay. And then, of course, the bizarre thing with the Zizi Kodwa story is when that broke, Phulemabe went on special leave. It was like, wasn't that a year ago? And so Phulemabe, if you remember, accused of harassment by his PA. I think she was his PA. I listened to her heartfelt message on a radio station, and you can't but believe every word she said. It was gut-wrenching. He was found to be not guilty of that particular charge. And then after Zizi Kodwa's story broke, Phulemabe went on special leave. I can't work that out.
Very, very strange indeed. Time is 7:28, about to go 7:29. Time is 7:36. Tanya Curry back on the line with us. Tanya, what were the major international stories?
Okay, so no, I don't do a lot of international stuff anymore, but certainly Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un was a very big story this week. And then there was something with Michael Cohen. You know so much about American politics. What was the story there? He implicated Donald Trump in crime.
Yeah, so, you know, Michael Cohen, of course, was Donald Trump's attorney, I think for around about 11 years. And they seem to have had some kind of a fallout. Michael Cohen perjured himself. He's sort of proven to be this liar, and he was brought before a Senate committee to answer some questions. Now, there was a lot of speculation around why it happened at exactly the same time that Donald Trump was meeting Kim Jong-un, and of course the answer that a lot of people give is that, well, because it caused a split screen. So you had Donald Trump meeting Kim Jong-un, trying to do good on that side, but being decimated, absolutely decimated on the other side. What the impact of this will be, I'm not sure. Of course, because the credibility of Michael Cohen is very, very deeply suspect.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. No, he's just, and I'm certainly not saying that he's lying about everything and that Donald Trump is squeaky clean in this whole story, but it all also revolves around Stormy Daniels. I mean, this is not nice stuff. This is just, that which we would really. That which we really, in most cases, don't want to know about. I would imagine those were the two big stories. And of course, the fact that the North Korean talks failed. They didn't achieve anything there.
People say that he got the Donald Trump handshake, but that was all. Pakistan and India, this is a worrying story. They're in the middle of a big standoff. Mm-hmm. And Pakistan freed a captured Indian pilot in an effort to defuse the Kashmir standoff. While in China, step backwards, they don't want to be involved at all. And I think this is a story that's not making big headlines, as it should. I think we're always dominated by the US, but here's a very worrying story.
It's a huge story, and I don't know why it isn't a bigger story. It always frustrates me. There are a couple of stories that happen around the world, and often it's in this area, in India, in China, where we're just not getting the news that we should be getting. These are big stories.
I think in South Africa, Howard, like, we're so focused on what's happening here, we've sort of forgotten about the rest of the world.
But so does the rest of the world. You know, when you look at the BBC, you look at Sky, I mean, they report on these things, but not to the, not with the same level of intricacy, that they'll report on other areas. I actually I went to a lecture on this, and it is quite interesting. One of the explanations given was that in areas of constant concern and conflict, so let's just say you're talking about Israel and that area, or you're talking about Washington, where there's always an interest. There's a higher proportion of journalists that are based there. So once any story happens, no matter how big or small, there's a very, very quick access to those stories. But when something's taking place in the middle of China and Muslims are being put into intern camps, there's no one there to report it. So we've seen the same thing in Zimbabwe. You see the same thing often happening in India and these places where of course you've got journalists, but you don't have that concentration of journalists to be able to push these stories out, as a result of which they don't get the coverage. And I think it actually was quite a sensible explanation that I heard, because I do find it very, very frustrating at times. Why aren't we getting more information out of Zimbabwe, out of China, out of this conflict in India? So I think that could
be... Well, I mean, the Zimbabwe story, it's just deathly silent, isn't it? Well, like we haven't heard another word.
Not a word. Not a word.
Scary, scary. Just to go back to the international stories, the documentary Leaving Neverland and Michael Jackson, that particular story is a huge one. And it also converges with the R. Kelly story. He was arrested and bailed out. So it looks like he's finally going to get his day in court. But you know what fascinates me is, where's Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We don't, that story, of course, being a massive one, and then just, we don't seem to hear much more about it.
So is he still going about his daily life with no problem? Yeah.
Well, he's certainly going about his daily life. I don't know if he's got problems or not, but certainly he's we're not seeing him going to court at this point. But
it makes no sense, does it? No. It makes no sense.
Absolutely.
And then the last one I've got for you is Elon Musk's Tulsa to shut stores and sell cars for cheaper as it battles for survival. That was interesting.
That is a big one. And then he also lost his mind a bit, and he changed his Twitter handle this week to Elon Tusk.
Oh,
yeah, I know.
Man does too many drugs, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I am worried, I have to say. If
you've got the shares, be afraid.
Yeah, I do feel the same.
Can we quickly just talk about this Osama bin Laden's son? Didn't we discover that Osama bin Laden wasn't actually the real perpetrator and they didn't really catch him? I seem to remember something like that.
No, I think they did. I think they do. I don't know. It's so strange at all. I mean, have you heard of this Osama bin Laden's son before they made this announcement that there's now this bounty on his head? I certainly had not heard one word about it. I'm certainly not involved at that with the CIA, but it was strange that all of a sudden we're hearing this and there's all this revenge. We're talking revenge how many years ago? You know,
strange, and they're offering $1 million reward for Osama bin Laden's son, Hamza bin Laden. But I don't understand the story at all. Does it mean we need to gear ourselves up for another attack on that region?
Well, it certainly does look like it, because I don't think they would be releasing this information in the way that they're releasing it unless that there was something to be slightly concerned about. Time is 7:43. Tanya Khoury, this is Where I Love and Leave You. You have a fantastic weekend, and we will catch you next week.